Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Supreme Court ruled moments ago that Joe Kennedy, a high school football coach, has a constitutional right to pray at games. The vote was 6-3, saying the Bremerton School District unlawfully violated his First Amendment rights. So-called trigger laws took effect in several states quickly after Roe was passed down to the states by the Supreme Court on Friday. Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt.
Here in Missouri, the people's voice has already made clear that Missourians respect the sanctity of human life. We believe that without the explicit protection of the right to life, all liberties are under attack, which is why the importance of this day cannot be overstated. I am humbled to be a part of this and the first Attorney General in the country to effectively end abortion.
The Colorado Avalanche won the Stanley Cup Finals overnight by beating Tampa Bay 2-1 in Game 6. USA Radio News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
President Biden will be in Germany's G7 meeting most of the day, dealing with topics Ukraine war, the climate, food security, and gender equality. A political shift is beginning to take hold across the United States as tens of thousands of suburban swing voters who helped fuel the Democrat Party's gains in recent years are becoming Republicans. More than 1 million voters across 43 states have switched to the Republican Party over the last year. The nation's baby formula crisis gets some relief in Texas.
A huge shipment of baby formula is now on the ground in Texas. A cargo plane carrying 150,000 pounds of baby formula from Germany arrived at Houston's Bush Intercontinental Airport Sunday. Nearly 100 pallets of Nestle formula were unloaded and is set to be distributed nationwide. The White House saying that's enough to supply over 1.5 million bottles of formula amid the ongoing shortage.
That is Tim Berg reporting on USA Radio News.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Confusion reigned at the San Francisco Civic Center celebration at the end of Sunday's Pride Parade. It had to be cut short after someone started spraying mace near the stage. The incident caused a panic, and in the hour that followed, reports of street brawls as people left the event. San Francisco police said at about 5:25 local time, officers assigned to the Civic Center area for the city's Pride Festival responded to a report of a shooting. The Supreme Court's decision in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization did not ban abortion, but made it a state's rights issue. Republican Representative Stephanie Bice from Oklahoma on Newsmax says misinformation by lawmakers and mainstream media is why there is confusion among the American people.
This decision, Roe and Casey, the reversal of that, are an important day for the pro-life movement. And states like Oklahoma are pro-life states. This decision gives that power back to the states and back to the people. And I think that that's a message that's being lost here. You know, I just saw your video with Maxine Waters, and certainly people, have the right to protest, and that's as long as it's in a peaceful manner. But it doesn't ban abortion. I think that's being missed here. This is a state's rights issue now, and it puts that back to the people so they can elect elected officials like we have in Oklahoma that protect life.
My name is Lance Pry, and we are USA Radio News.
This is a potter's field. When people can't pay for their funerals, they are buried here. It is a lonely, desolate place, littered with unmarked headstones. No one visits. No one leaves flowers. But it doesn't have to be that way. For as low as $1 a day, you can ensure your family will have the money to pay your funeral expenses. We offer burial insurance plans that pay up to $30,000. Considering the average funeral costs more than $10,000, that's peace of mind for your family. There are no medical exams, your rates won't increase, and your policy cannot be canceled as long as you make your premium payments. Call now to get approved in minutes and ensure your final resting place is more than just a pauper's grave in a potter's field.
800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. That's 800-562-2407. Paid for by Final Expense Direct.
Back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, welcome back. Thank you for joining in on The Good Fight. We've got a country to save, and we need all hands on deck. And thank you for joining in and being a part of the solution and not adding to the problem. Problems rolling along here. But I believe we're starting to gain ground. I think there's some optimism in the air here that we can embrace and be enthused about. Right now, 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Brooks Rainwater is going to be joining us. He's the NLC. The National League of Cities senior executive for the Center for City Solutions. Heaven knows, I mean, cities have been devastated and pummeled with, riotous reactions. I mean, we had the Summer of Love, something like anywhere between $2 and $4 billion. I don't know why there's such a big range. I mean, you know, there's a big difference between $2 and $4 billion, but they throw these zeros out there in such a way that it seems all we know was devastating, okay? And especially if you were in any one of these cities that got out of control, where law and order was running amok. And now you have in many cases, like reportedly in Chicago, that many businesses are finally, you know, they're packing up and saying, hey, I'm out of here. I've sustained enough damage. I've done my best to employ local people, but it seems that the city does not want to protect business interests. And so business goes where it is invited and where it's welcomed. Brooks Rainwater joins us now to give us a latest update on the 2022 State of the Cities report. Brooks, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Great to join you here.
Well, Brooks, no doubt, cities have been devastated. I would say certainly, I mean, we can narrow it down and say the last couple of years, but this has been going on for a little bit where, you know, businesses are looking at, you know, where they have a fair chance to win and where they can thrive. And it just seems that cities have kind of lost their way a bit. What do you say?
I say that there were some challenges early on in the pandemic economically, and you saw quite a few business closures, as well as some people moving out of cities, largely into the metropolitan regions surrounding those cities. But over the last year, you've seen a lot more economic activity, a lot more people moving back into the center of cities. Rents have been rising, unfortunately, pretty highly in many of those central cities throughout the country. And so, you know, despite the pandemic, I'd say the state of America's cities, towns, and villages is strong. Cities are leading our recovery with those plans to rebuild their communities using unprecedented federal funding opportunities that have been able to really provide the support and lifeline to keep our communities thriving.
Well, Brooks, you know that as well as I do, we can be grateful to the American spirit that has, been confronted by hard times before. And people can't help but do what they've been wired to do. You've got entrepreneurs that, you know, they'll be entrepreneurs regardless. I mean, you know, they'll find a way to do this. And so you have a little bit of that activity. Yes, the pandemic was part and parcel to what happened in the last couple of years. But there was a cultural shift that was taking place, too. I'd say if we took the last 5 years, and maybe we've kind of punched ourselves out to such a degree to say, hey, look, at you know, we can do better than this. And let's preserve our communities. Let's get back to those basic ideals that gives us a fair chance to win and to be successful and be productive for, you know, our communities and our families. Are you sensing that from this report?
We are. We definitely have seen over the last few years a shift in you know, what has been focused on within cities. For many, many years, economic development was always the kind of core first and foremost issue, and it's still high. But we did see infrastructure rising to the top as our number one issue, and I think that really speaks to the degraded nature of infrastructure in America's cities, all throughout communities, you know, rural, urban, all throughout America. We continuously see failing grades on infrastructure, and so collectively, people are focused on finally rebuilding America in the way that it needs to be built. And so we see things like bridge projects taking hold. You know, we see mass transit being able to support it. And a lot of this is we just need to bring things up to the 21st century. We're still dealing with water pipes and infrastructure from the late 1800s, early 1900s. So it's time for America to thrive, to rebuild that infrastructure that we all need.
Well, I think we all agree on that. I mean, that's pretty obvious. The thing that seems absent from the discussion is that for years, the American people have paid taxes. They've paid into infrastructure development. You know, right now, there's a lot of pain at the gas pumps, and even the president saying, okay, we're going to give you an 18 cents relief here, which amounts to hardly anything in terms of the cost of gasoline. And so now you look at infrastructure and go, well, you guys have been collecting these gas fees, these gas taxes that are supposed to support infrastructure. What the heck's been going on? What did you guys do with this money?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that there's a whole lot of challenges that go into building American infrastructure. We pay a great deal more for similar things like roadways and trains and public transit sector things than our colleagues over in Europe might pay for a very similar thing. And there's just so much that goes into that, from the regulatory process at the state level to the federal level and everything in between. And so you have those challenges also met with the fact that we have not invested anywhere near what comparable countries around the world have invested in infrastructure in recent years. When you look at what China's been able to do from an infrastructure perspective, when you look again at European countries, when you look at Japan, they're investing a great deal more money. And so, yes, we have had the gas tax, but much of the gas tax revenue had been pretty flat for a number of years. Part of that is, thankfully, we're seeing more people drive electric cars, and we want to see that number go up even higher. But electric cars don't contribute to the gas tax. And so thinking a little bit more broadly about how you actually have that mix of revenue coming in might be a better approach going forward.
Well, again, some of this addresses and points to priorities. You know, hey, maybe the tax may be flat, but you still got revenue coming in. And again, the question is where it is. And then as you outlined, you just very succinctly referenced maybe three layers of bureaucracy that have to get their piece of the action and all this money that should be going, as opposed to some of these, you know, outside, you know, these countries outside of America that just say, hey, we got a problem, put the money on to it. You know, they're not worried about, you know, kickbacks and all this other stuff that seems to be, you know, part of the American political system. I know I sound kind of, you know, prejudiced and cynical here, but I'm saying, look at it. If we're really serious about infrastructure and we're serious about doing right by the American taxpayer, then we should look at it in a way that is probably more expeditious and much more effective than the way it's being done right now, in my humble opinion, Brooks.
Yeah, I think there are, you know, regulatory barriers that could be, you know, changed, removed at some level. But part of the challenge, which is also a positive within the American system, is our federal system. The fact that we have multiple layers of governance speaks to the greatness of America, but it also speaks to some of the challenges that we find at times.
I think when it advances the cause for everybody, I'm for it. But when it gets right in the way and it's self-serving, I'm sorry, you know, that gets to be a little bit of a problem, especially right now. You know, again, we're dealing with a lot of pain economically right now, and I think it's a time for us to reassess and be more prudent. We got a quick break. We've got more from Brooks after this.
It's always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker or whether you're a school teacher or whether you're a scientist or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-459-9156, 800-459-9156, 800-459-9156. That's 800-459-9156, NMLS 6606, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend, subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Have you heard about Vine to Bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's Vine to Bar Chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
Hey, we're back with with you. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Brooks Rainwater is with us. He is the National League of Cities Senior Executive for the Center for City Solutions. We're talking about the release of the new 2022 State of the Cities report. This is mayors, you know, all coming together, filling different parts of the elephant, saying, hey, here's what's going on in our various cities. And they addressed these important issues that mayors are seeing at the local level, the very thing that you are realizing, you know, that touch you instantly, because these are the problems and priorities that you live with locally. And so they're talking about these anticipated challenges and a roadmap for the future, including plans, goals, and impacts. Brooks, I'm going to give you the floor here and let you give us the highlights of this 2022 State of the Cities report.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. So 2 years ago, the COVID-19 pandemic changed everything. But cities bounced back thanks to the determination of our mayors and support provided by new and unprecedented federal funding opportunities. So the way we do this research is we look at State of the City speeches every year to see the critical insight into the trends that mayors are seeing in their communities and priorities for the upcoming year. And so this is the ninth one that we did. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, infrastructure was the big one that everybody was talking about. America's mayor's speeches this year made it clear that cities are finally reaping the benefits of those hard-won efforts to bring the federal dollars into their communities. And they're using those funds to make our cities, towns, and villages better, more equitable places to live. So the topics local leaders highlighted as top priorities in their annual State of the City speeches are infrastructure, economic development, budget and management, and public safety. And at the end of the day, cities are focused on rebuilding their communities with infrastructure dollars heading their way while working through employment pressures and working to ensure all of their residents are treated equitably. Because, you know, public sector employment, they're facing many of the same challenges that we're seeing in the private sector. And now with inflation pressures coming on, many of those challenges are just being exacerbated even more. But really, I would just reiterate that we're starting to see green shoots in cities. You know, as things economically are getting better after the last few years where you had a lot of closures and other challenges via the pandemic, certainly with the inflation pressures and other things, we're seeing new challenges. But I would say our cities are bouncing back stronger than ever.
Let's talk more about those green shoots that you're seeing, Brooks. Give us some examples.
Sure. We're seeing economic development projects that are happening. You know, in many cities. So as an example, in Kingston, New York, Mayor Noble there talked about his city's plans to revitalize a commercial and residential development downtown. Many cities are planning to invest in commercial real estate projects to boost economic recovery and also to bring more people in to improve their long-term attractiveness to new and relocating businesses. We saw another mayor who talked about his city's plans to support the transformation of a long vacant factory into a destination, you know, doing things like having a distillery, brewery, restaurant. That's the type of thing where we're seeing those public-private partnerships where you bring in entrepreneurs, you bring in local businesses to really enhance those downtowns. Because I think that's one of the things we're seeing as well is nationally, we still only have about 40% or so of people going back into commercial office space. So we need to rethink what downtowns will look like going forward into the future. A lot more residential, because we need people on the ground to support those local businesses.
What kind of ideas are you hearing, Brooks, from these mayors in terms of these blighted downtown areas that you speak of?
Really, a lot of what we're hearing is how we can redevelop buildings and think about bringing in more apartments and condominiums into what may have been commercial buildings that are no longer being utilized in quite the same way. So you're starting to see some of that redevelopment action happen. It'll take a long time, though, when you think about commercial lease rates and how those leases are put in place. It's going to be a challenge. But at the end of the day, we were already starting to see this movement towards more mixed-use development in our downtowns pre-pandemic. And like many other trends, the pandemic really just accelerated this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting how the free market works out of a growing need, right? I mean, let's face it, housing is we're at anemic levels right now. And people are looking for more housing, and this is probably an immediate way to kind of at least offer some relief in this area of, you know, housing, especially in these downtown areas, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we have a housing deficit and have had it for many years, stretching back to the Great Recession, that we just have not built enough housing. And then we saw just the increases in prices over the last few years have been monumental and become such a challenge for those that need to rent a place and just don't have enough money, or need to buy a home for their family and just are unable to do it. And so the ability to perhaps build more housing in downtowns and build more housing everywhere, you know, really let the free market thrive when it comes to the amount of development that we can handle within our cities and towns, you'll see a marked difference, because right now there's just too many people that can't pay their bills and afford the rent that continues to grow every day.
Exactly. Brooks, what are these mayors saying in terms of, you know, the Green Deal about going electric? Do they think that this is too aggressive, you know, by this administration that wants everybody in electrical cars by 2030, when we just don't even have enough electrical cars to service people, much less to reach that goal? And I understand. Look, I've been in marketing all my life, and I understand, you know, ambition and aspirations and goal setting. But at some point, especially the mayors who are at the ground level, they can see right away if this, is this too aspirational? Is it too big a bite for these local mayors to deal with?
Sure. I would say when it comes to environmental policy, we've seen mayors leading generally above and beyond what has been happening at the state and national level for the last two decades. So I spent a lot of my time working on green building policy for many years, and you saw that being championed at the local level, you know, trying to create environmentally friendly buildings that saved energy costs and, frankly, saved a lot of costs overall. And so you started to see that bubble up in some of our largest cities, you know, 15, 20 years ago, and now it's standard practice. I think similarly on electric cars, you see a lot of cities out there that are champions on it, but it just really depends on the place. I mean, our country is so vastly different depending on geography, whether you're talking about small towns, medium-sized cities, large cities, you know, those that are very auto-dependent versus those like where I live in Washington, D.C., where people take the subway often and walk. And so it really just lines up dependent on what the city itself looks like. But I would say that overall, mayors are really trying to do what they can for the environment and also to save money, because at the end of the day, you know, investing in electric cars or investing in green buildings, these are cost-saving measures while at the same time help alleviate climate change.
But when is the matrix? When you know, when you look at actual realized cost savings, when do those crosshairs come together in such a way? I mean, this isn't something that's going to happen immediately. You've got to look at this over a projected period of time, don't you, Brooks?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say when it comes to green construction, we're long past that point now. Early on, there was the added cost for many years. But I think as you saw the market transform, and you saw people, frankly, ask for it, particularly in the commercial real estate sector. Mm-hmm. It became normal that if you were going to sign a 10 or 20-year lease, you wanted to make sure you had the most efficient, healthy building that you could get into. And so as you started to see the market shift, you had kind of that turn towards actual, you know, not only were people asking for it, but people were saving money at the same time. And so I think similarly with electric cars, when you look at a company like Tesla, or you look at like Ford and other big manufacturers, what they're doing, we may not fully be there yet, but I think we'll be there soon, because the market is shifting. People are demanding electric cars. It's what they want. And so I think that the more that we can build, the faster we'll get there.
You say that's what they want. What is your data saying in terms of what you think over 50% of the people want electric? You think What number do you come up with?
I don't think we're quite there yet. Yeah, I mean,
Okay. Well, you suggest you're saying that this is what they want. So, you know, I'm just trying to get a quantifiable number. I mean, I want to get somewhat of an objective report on what we're discussing here. And I appreciate you coming on and look forward to having you back, to get an update on this. This has been Brooks Rainwater with the NLC Senior Executive for the Center for City
Your
Solutions.
Your way of living Thank with you, diabetes Brooks. Is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Supreme Court ruled moments ago that Joe Kennedy, a high school football coach, has a constitutional right to pray at games. The vote was 6-3, saying the Bremerton School District unlawfully violated his First Amendment rights. So-called trigger laws took effect in several states quickly after Roe was passed down to the states by the Supreme Court on Friday. Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt.
Here in Missouri, the people's voice has already made clear that Missourians respect the sanctity of human life. We believe that without the explicit protection of the right to life, all liberties are under attack, which is why the importance of this day cannot be overstated. I am humbled to be a part of this and the first Attorney General in the country to effectively end abortion.
The Colorado Avalanche won the Stanley Cup Finals overnight by beating Tampa Bay 2-1 in Game 6. USA Radio News.
Chihibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Back with you 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. I'm Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, BillMartinezShow.com is where you want to go. You can check it all out, along with all the interviews. I mean, we're not about 8-second sound bites here. You've gathered. It is a uniquely programmed radio show that makes sure that we have plenty of time to get into the topic as deep as we can. I mean, certainly a lot more than other places comparatively, as you know. Many people feel spiritually stuck, coming out of the disruption of a worldwide pandemic that forced us to interact with politics, people, and the church in a new way. And after such unprecedented loss of life and opportunities, it has been painful and a bit confusing, even as we're working through it. Well, Pastor Mike Novotny joins us. He's a spiritual leader, and his new book, What's Big Starts Small. Mike, welcome back to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Bill.
Hey, I appreciate your perspective here, is that, life is a process. It's all a process. You know, I tell my kids all the time, you got to crawl before you walk, before you run. And it's as if, the reset has been hit. And we've got to take the information through this 2.5 years of this pandemic, take this information and draw the benefit of it and say, okay, what did I learn and where do I need to be post-pandemic? And you say, well, how do I get there? And you say in your book, hey, maybe just one little step at a time, right?
Yeah, that's so true. The book is essentially built on an amazing story that Jesus told that I missed for most of my Christian life. We call it the parable of the sower, and it's really Jesus saying, you know, God's word, the Bible can do really, really big things in your life. It can give you, peace through the midst of a pandemic. It can give you joy when the government feels off the rails. But there's a thing you need to know about the word, is that just going to church or just opening your Bible won't necessarily get you there. Instead, what Jesus taught is God's word is like a seed, and it has incredible potential, but I mean, I'm not sure if you've had a garden before, but you can't just throw a seed on a soil and then walk away and then, whoa, look at this amazing garden. There's threats, and you have to protect that seed so it can grow into maturity.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And like you say, it is a process. And for any of us who have had a garden and have experienced that, I mean, there's some people that just have that proverbial green thumb, right? They get it. They're blessed. They're wired to understand it. And it's amazing to be around these people. My 31-year-old son is that way. He's unbelievable what he's able to do. He's the plant whisperer, I think.
Yeah, I've never thought of it that way. Maybe this book and Jesus' story is about giving us a spiritual green thumb. Like, we all want to be fruitful. We all want to be mature spiritually, but we just feel like it's not working, or we're not growing, or we're going back to old temptations and habits. You know, we feel stuck, so how do we get past that? And in Jesus' story, I find these six threats to really great faith, and this book is written to help you, identify what those six threats are, and then how do you overcome them with the help of God.
Okay, break them down. What are the threats?
Yeah, so I'll list the six, but there's one I particularly want to ask you about, given what you do. So the six threats in Jesus' story.
Put me on the spot. Great, thank you very much. Okay, good. All right, no worries. I can handle it.
Yeah, so the six threats are pride. Like, I just don't want to understand what the word says because it's going to challenge me. Pain, which is, my family, my friends, my neighbors don't really love what God is saying, so I kind of wither and give up on it. There's three that Jesus bunches together: worries, wealth, and wants. And then the final one, because the word is a seed, is not waiting. So pride, pain, worries, wealth, wants, and not waiting. And those things, just like you could have bugs or disease or thorns or a hot sun or hard soil, those are the six things that get in the way of that seed of God's word growing into something big in your life.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the one I want to ask you.
So you had a – okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so in Jesus talks about sometimes the desire for other things. You know, you want these other things, and you just end up so busy and so cluttered that, maybe you hear these things about God, or maybe you make it to church or open your Bible, but it just doesn't grow into something big. So in the book, I explore what I think are the top four things that we want in life that tend to make us busier than we need to be. And one of them that I picked was the news. So, gone are the days of getting your morning newspaper, reading it, and then moving on with life. And here are the days of constant news, 24/7. Everything's breaking. Need to know. Don't miss this. The latest thing. And I think if you get too kind of sucked into needing to know the latest headline, you end up so busy watching and scrolling and clicking and reading and following up that you'll end up with not enough time to really read the word, meditate on it, and put it into practice. So as a guy who loves the news and works and serves a lot of people who love the news, what do you think? Do you think the news is making people busier than they need to be?
Well, without a doubt. I mean, we're inundated with it, as you say, the 24/7 news cycle. And I realized this, Mike, God had brought this to my attention, certainly after the election, the 2020 elections. And I had to reset and really enforce some strong discipline in my day so that I wasn't so consumed. I mean, because it even got to the point, you know, where my kids were saying, well, you know, you're always watching this and you're always doing this. I go, well, you got to understand, you know, we're talking about this. I've got to be up to speed on it and everything else. And so I had to do some assessment. And it was a good thing, you know, to realize. So your point's well taken. And I think that we have to be careful. I mean, it's just like right now, there's a lot of news out there because of something that is absolutely pivotal. And I think really critical to what God is doing right now in terms of the Supreme Court in Roe v. Wade. And my question has been here, you know, why now, 49 years later, why are we dealing with this issue? And so I look at things, and one of the things that's kind of helped me a little bit, Mike, even from day one of doing this show, is I said that, God, if this is what you want me to do, then I believe that you're calling me to do this through a biblical worldview and a biblical lens. So I have to reconcile that. So my question today is this appointed time that we've been, and I believe this is an appointed time that we've been blessed with. This is God's reset, not the World Economic Forum's reset, Klaus Schwab's or any, you know, Babylonian man-made reset, but God's reset. And this appointed time that's been given us, that's presented. So now what are we going to do that God, again, has put before us the choice between life and death?
Yeah. Yeah. You said something just a minute ago that I'm writing it down right now because I'm going to steal this from you. You said, you know, you were getting so consumed that you needed, your quote was, strong disciplines. Like,
yes.
If I don't give myself some boundaries here and say, okay, enough is enough, I'm going to get so consumed that I'm going to miss out on things that matter even more. And, you know, when I thought about the garden, that I actually have a little seed packet here in front of me. And on the back of a seed packet, I'm looking at a packet of tomatoes. Half of the directions on how to grow tomatoes are about having enough space for them to grow. You know, so, you know, don't pour in a million seeds into this little trench.
Right.
And don't put your rows too close to each other because, you know, if you really want this tomato, it actually needs a bit more space than you might think. And so that's why I love what you say. You have to have strong disciplines to say, you know, I could do that. Okay, 30 minutes of news, then I'm done. I love watching shows, maybe just two a week. Hey, I love watching sports, but there's always going to be a game. And Christians really need, like good gardeners, some strong disciplines to say, hey, I love the Bible. I love God. It can produce something beautiful and great in my life, but it's going to need maybe a little bit more space than I think. And these strong disciplines are going to help the word grow into something really, really big.
Well, you're exactly right. Well, Mike, I can tell you, doing a show like I do, you know, 3 hours a day, do you know how many hours that consumes in order to do 3 hours a day? I mean, interviewing guests like yourself that has books and, you know, scheduling guests and all that, you know, for each hour that I'm on the air, there's another 2 hours of research and planning that goes into it. So for me, that's like a 9-hour day. So you're exactly right. I mean, it's easy to get consumed, but meanwhile, you go, okay, God, where's the balance? And that's a constant question and that that I deal with. So I agree. I think that for a period of time, my rows got a little tight, and God is saying, okay, look, let's open up some space here. And he has drawn me to some enforced and strict disciplines to help give me the refreshment that I need so that I can, you know, continue to do the show. We've got to go to break. Speaking of discipline, we've got more from Mike after this.
Thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book. Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Do you love driving, but you hate your expensive car payment?
Open Road Lending can reduce your current car payment by as much as $100 a month or more. Yes, it's easy to refinance your current car payment and save up to $100 a month. Could you use an extra $100 a month? Then make this call to Open Road Lending today to learn how you can lower your current car payment. It's easy. Only takes a few minutes, and there's no cost or obligation to apply and get approved. You can do it all from the comfort of your home. Call today and see how much you can save.
800-511-6223. 800-511-6223. That's 800-511-6223. Call now. 800-511-6223.
Terms and conditions apply. Financing is available with approved credit. See openroadlending.com for details.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez.
The brightest sunrise, wait on the other side. On the darkest side, don't ever lose hope. Oh, no, Emily, maybe you just haven't seen it. Just haven't seen it yet.
You know, throughout the Bible, you know, thousands of years that you read about where you get in those situations where, look, at you know, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, and you may find yourself at this point in time and saying, gosh, Bill, I still don't have a lot of gas left in the tank. I mean, regardless of the cost of gasoline. I mean, I'm running on fumes when it comes to hope. But, you know, we serve a God who is eternal and understands this. And he is there to fill us up if we come to him, to commune with him, to be filled up with his grace, his mercy, and his love. But it starts with us to be intentional to want to do that. And at a time when you think, oh gosh, you know, I just don't see it. You know, like Danny Gokey is saying, you know, is that sometimes we don't see it. You know, Mike Novotny, it's kind of like, you know, I always go immediately when I think about it, I think of Abraham taking his son on Mount Moriah. He's going to sacrifice him. And he, in his grief and, you know, just hoping upon hope that God was definitely going to be there somehow. You know, he gave him his son. Now he wants him to sacrifice him. And I believe that ram was in the thicket all the time. But his eyes were not open to see it until God opened his eyes. And God, the Jehovah Jireh that he is, the provider who has it all fixed, you know, from day one, you know, even before day one, in your mother's womb, Mike, as he was knitting you together, giving you everything that you needed to be the author, to be the pastor, to be the leader, to be the spiritual leader that you are today was all infused, all interwoven in the woof and worf of your DNA. And,
wow.
You know, and this is why it's so cool, because he's the God that knows the end from the beginning, who knows where you're to end up, and says, hey, it's all done. It's finished, man. Not, you know, don't worry.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And but yet in our humanity, we want to take that away from God and, claim it for ourselves. And that's what gets us in trouble sometimes, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, this book that I wrote is all about the parable of the sower. And as you're talking, I'm just thinking that, yeah, God is so good. He is so for us that just like a farmer or a gardener, when they put seed out, like they want that seed to grow. They are pro-seed. And they want the soil to produce beautiful things. So I love thinking of God as that. He's not, you know, crossing his arms up in heaven like, well, what are you going to do with my word? No, he's like a gardener that helps us and forgives us and encourages us. So, yeah, I just love the way you're depicting God as he's on our side, and spiritual growth is his goal too. And I think that's why Jesus told this story that we call the parable of the sower.
Right. And God, again, knows the end. I mean, we throw a seed in there and we read the packet. It says, okay, it should give us tomatoes. It's not going to give us peaches or avocados, but it says tomatoes, so I'm going to trust that it does. And it may or may not develop, because lest we forget, there was that fig tree, right, that Jesus ran into that wasn't doing what it was supposed to do, and he cursed it and it died. So, but God, in his glory and as creator God, knowing the end from the beginning, you know, doesn't plant a seed that's not going to go to fulfillment, does he?
Jesus chooses some interesting words in the parable of the sower, especially when he talks about people who are so busy with these other things like, he wasn't thinking of news and sports and shows, but, you know, the desire for other things. I think the words that Jesus chooses is, but they don't come to maturity, or, you know, they're choked out by these thorns so that they don't bear grain and become fruitful. And that part of the story just resonated with me. Like, I do love God. I do trust in his word. I don't want to, you know, shy away and wither because all my friends don't love it. Mm-hmm. But, man, there's a lot to think about with if I want to come to maturity, I have to be really, really conscious of my schedule, about saying no to, you know, 9 things so I can say yes to the one thing. I'm in a season of parenting right now with my 2 daughters. And, man.
Oh, Lord. How old are they?
12 and 13.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I actually dig into this a bunch in the book, that with parents and activities and like busy family schedules, and my goodness, you would think all of us have future professional athletes in our families with how many practices and how many games,
how many
weekend tournaments.
Yeah.
So it is not easy. You have to be really countercultural to be a family who's not running in 16 directions. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be spiritually fruitful, I'm speaking to moms and dads right now, like, it's painful to pull thorns out of your garden so that tomatoes can grow. And it's really painful to say no to some of these extra activities that every other family's doing. You're going to feel weird. It's going to feel awkward. People are going to wonder what you're doing. But if in the end you need space to grow a good seed, then just squeezing in church between the 16 weekend games, it's not going to give you what you want. You need some space to think about it and put it into practice. And this book is really my call to action to help families and all kinds of Christians do that very thing.
Yeah, what a blessing. Mike, this is awesome. I so appreciate you and appreciate what God has imputed in your spirit to share this with us. One thing I will share with you, you have 2 daughters, and a friend of mine has shared with me, I had 4 boys, and I actually had 3 boys. It was my 3 sons for many years, and then I had a daughter. And a wise friend of mine came to me and said, Bill, you got to date your daughter. And I said, interesting.
Yes.
And because it'll set the stage. And, you know, of course, at that point, there was no way, because I didn't want my daughter dating until she was 40, because I figured at that time either Jesus would be back or I would be dead, so I wouldn't have to deal with it, right?
So,
but, you know, anyway, I took on his advice and started dating my daughter. It was interesting, because as I did that, and we had that special time that we would have together, then guess what? the boys go like, hey, like, what are we? How come we're not getting time, you know, with you, right? So from dating the daughter, then it was dating my sons as well, in a sense, or you know, carving out that intentional time, you know, to your point. So if you're not doing that already, I would do that. But also get ready that your wife's is going to go, hello, hey, big boy, you know, I appreciate that you're paying attention to our daughters, but, you know, mama needs some time too, you know. Because I had to go through that process, you know, speaking of, you know, those small steps, right?
that's so beautiful. And I bet you couldn't be as good as you could have been at work or in watching sports or in keeping up with the news. So you prioritize the things that I'm sure as you look back and tell the story, you're not like, dang, you know, I wish I would have watched more news instead of date my daughter.
Exactly. But you don't know that. But you don't know that until you start taking the small steps. That's the thing, because initially you might resist, because maybe your wife says, hey, Mike, you know, I think you spend time with the girls individually. You need to, well, you know, and there's a game on, you know, what are you thinking? You know, part of you, you know, that pride thing comes up. You're exactly right. But, you know, you make that small step, take that step toward that, and then see what happens. And, oh, my goodness, Mike, I look back and forget about days that, you know, going playing golf or, you know, watching another sports game on the boob tube or whatever it was.
Yep.
I mean, that vested time into my daughter is so meaningful that even to this day, and she's 33 with two of my grandkids in Hawaii, of all places, you know, with my son-in-law. And it's just been, you know, such a blessing, because those are cherished memories that, well, to surpass any Super Bowl game, let me tell you, okay?
Yeah.
I know for some people you're thinking, oh, are you out of your mind? No, trust me. Even, I don't care.
Yes. Yeah, it's not just for parents, too. I think this book is really a call that there is something greater. It's not a book that's hating on sports or never watch the news again or, you know, cancel Netflix right now. It's just a reminder that being really connected to God, having his peace overwhelm your heart, recognizing the joy that you have in your forgiveness, prioritizing love for people and investing in relationships, like that's the stuff that's actually better than the lesser options that are easier to choose. And it takes some intentionality and focus, and that's what I hope the book helps people to do. Just make that one choice, clear out some soil, plant a little seed, and, man, you're going to be shocked when God takes that little step and grows it into something bigger than you ever imagined.
Yeah, without a doubt, and the timing of your book is so perfect, Mike, you know, when I think about what you addressed, you know, the nuns and duns, not nuns like Catholic nuns. I mean, these are, you know, the non-affiliated, the duns who experienced church and said, I'm done. You know, it isn't there for me. God's missing. I don't get it. And this is God's church, and he is the one that ordained it. And I believe that there is going to be an awakening. And I think that Roe v. Wade is part of the entrance and announcement of this great awakening that will take place for those churches that have ears to hear to make a difference, because God's not going to let his creation go running around pell-mell with their heads cut off.
Hmm. Yeah, big expectations. You read the parable of the sower, and Jesus said one little seed can bring back 30 or 60 or even 100 times what was sown. So if you've never seen a tiny tomato seed grow into like a dozen tomatoes, would you think it's possible? But, man, God has a way of taking something really small and turning it into something really big. So, yeah, whether it's the latest news that we're hearing this week or whether it's next Sunday, when you really pay attention to that sermon or that verse from your morning devotion, like, oh, don't minimize what God can do through a single decision, a single devotion, a single church service. According to Jesus' story, what's big starts really small.
Yeah, really. And that's the thing, you know, is that little baby steps. Got to crawl before you walk, before you run. And why not? I mean, what have you got to lose at the end of the day, right?
Yep. Yeah, spot on. Yeah, I hope people take
especially when, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Available at all the usual places. We're going to link it on our website. And how about a website, Mike, if people want to be in touch? How can they connect with you?
Yeah, timeofgrace.org is where you can find all the books, all the resources, hopefully a lot of little seeds that'll help you grow in your faith.
Oh, there he is. He's the pastor and spiritual leader. His new book, What's Big Starts Small. And as I said, it'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezShow.com. Mike Novotny, thank you so much for being with us. God bless.
Thanks, Bill. You too.
Do you fear getting COVID? I've had COVID 4 times over 2 years now, and it is very easy to eliminate from my body. We've all heard the several nutritional and medical recommendations on how to protect from COVID. However, no one is talking about the one I've found to be the most effective. I've had 2 clients debilitated with COVID symptoms for days or months take our Green Meadow Whey protein powder and feel either 100% well or much better in the first 24 hours. That's a faster recovery than offered by any medication or other nutritional supplement. Green Meadow Whey is naturally rich in the protein called lactoferrin. Non-denatured lactoferrin is a protein that binds to viruses and cell receptor sites so they cannot enter the cell, as well as defends the body against bacteria, fungi, parasites, and supports abdominal fat loss. I have found that nature always has a superior answer to any health challenge. Let Green Meadow Whey empower your body and immunity to the highest levels of health. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's BESTWHEY protein.net, or call 888-988-3325.
Frustrated trying to get business cap